In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, we're back on The Usual Suspects. One in the books, two to go, 2 hours left of the big show. And you know how we do it on an FYF Friday. That means F stands for a lot of things, including football this weekend and funny. Billy Gardell is our comedian of the week. And lo and behold, we told you, we previewed it, and now we come through with the truth. He is here in person in the studio, and he is going to kick it around with you guys and us. For a while, welcome to the show. Welcome to Houston.
Thank you for having me, man. If you don't know me, I was on Mike and Molly. I played Molly, and it was a good run. And I had to come down here and formally apologize to Barry. It was supposed to be his weekend at the Comedy Showcase, and he was nice enough to acquiesce. So
that's how the business goes.
I can do the weekend. I appreciate it.
Yeah,
I really
man.
Did.
Anytime.
Thank you.
Ken called me, and he goes, hey, I got good news and bad news. And I was like, I have a feeling the good news isn't going to be good news for me. He goes, well, the good news is I got Billy Gardell. I was like, awesome. When am I being moved?
We all go through that.
Absolutely.
I really appreciate it.
Oh,
thank
dude, anytime.
Gives me a chance to come back to Houston. I've been coming here for, I guess, almost 20 years.
Yeah, I mean, you were at the last stop. And
yeah, Don worked me for no money for many years. And
sounds about
and
right.
And he got me to do a benefit for free last night. So I figured, you know, this weekend we'll do a show together and we get to hang out and torture each other.
Very good. Now, you said you're working on a Netflix special.
I'm real close to a new special. I'm about 45 minutes into a new hour, and I've been polishing that material. And I love doing it on the club level because it's intimate, and there's a great live-or-die feeling when they're right on top of you like that. And plus, I'm kind of from the old school. I don't think you should be charging, you know, $60 at a casino and going, hey, here's my new chunk on the airport. You guys let me know what you think. So I like to have that stuff done, and I'm real close to it now. So I'm a slow writer, but it's been about 2 years, so I'm almost there. I'm pretty happy with this material.
You said you like the club setting.
I do.
And you like the intimacy, but you saw what happened recently with these guys charging the stage and everything like that.
The video that got me attacked. Yeah, I don't know how that happened. I saw the video without noise, and you know, that happens sometimes when you say things that are strongly opinionated, which, by the way, you should be able to say. You know, this is a free country. You should be able to say whatever you want, and you should be able to choose whether you want to hear it or not. But apparently we don't know how to act anymore. No one knows how to act. Like, that's what my father would say when we were kids and we were acting up. He'd go, don't you know how to act?
Yeah.
No one knows how to act anymore. So I think there's freedom of speech here, and then there's a choice to listen or not listen. And we need to get back to being human beings.
Now, you have one show tonight at 8 o'clock?
Yep.
And then two shows tomorrow night,
7 and 9:30 at the
Joke Joint Comedy
Showcase.
And I talked to Ken. Exactly. I talked to Ken yesterday. So we're going to do a giveaway at the end of the segment. We'll give away a couple pairs of tickets to the late show tomorrow.
Very cool.
So yeah. So we'll do that as well. So you guys hang tight at the end of the segment.
Right on.
We'll do a giveaway for some tickets as well.
And you're from Pittsburgh originally?
I am, man. I'm still nursing my loss to the Jacksonville. I haven't heard that much rage come out of that stadium since the 70s.
We were talking during the break.
Brutal.
And I mean,
brutal.
You look at, obviously, Jacksonville had a great defense. But at the same time, and you guys lost to him twice this year. I hate to bring up old
wounds. No, you're right. I think the first time they caught us sleeping, and then we knew they were legit when they came in. But you know what, man? You put up 43 points at home in a playoff game and you lose. So I got to go to the coaching. What the hell's going on up in the booth that you're not seeing that needs to be corrected? The flats were empty the entire day. They killed us in the flats, up and down the field. And for a guy like Bortles to do that to you?
You know that's what he's going to do.
Horrifying. This is the only pass the guy can throw.
Yep.
Exactly. And we couldn't take it away.
Yeah, that's crazy.
And I think there were some real bad calls on offense for us, too. I thought Ben did great. I mean, he threw some touchdowns that were spectacular. But, you know, they have a rule there with Haley that he can't audible out of. And some of those fourth and ones, you're running a sweep on fourth and one. It was insane. It was like, are we a high school team that doesn't know what we're doing? It was really horrible.
It just seems when you have the best receiver in football and the best running back in football, should you not be able to just keep everybody at bay?
If they can let that pretty boy Brady sneak, Ben can sneak. Yeah. But that's on the coaches, man. That's on Haley, and I'm glad he's gone.
Now, at the break, you mentioned how much you hate the Patriots.
I do.
And I can't imagine you're a huge Eagles fan, being from Pittsburgh and being a Steelers
fan. I don't mind
the Eagles.
They're in the NFC, you know what I mean? And yeah, I got to root for anybody who's playing the Patriots. So I got to. And somebody asked me, what's it like being a Steelers fan and rooting for the Eagles? I go, it's kind of like your cousin that gets a lot of DUIs and then they do something good. You got to go show up and support them, you know? So I'm rooting for the Eagles.
What? Now, I don't want to blame all of Pennsylvania, but maybe, no. I mean, you being from Pittsburgh, maybe you. Why are Philly fans so horrible?
I don't know, man. The thing that does make me laugh is the poor people of Minnesota have no idea what's coming for them because you got Boston fans and Philly fans.
Oh, you're right.
And you got that Minnesota, oh, where are you guys from? And then there's two cities of, I'll kill you! They're all going to convert. There's going to be a lot of bar fights in Minnesota.
Well, they
this
said
week,
that Minnesotans were trying to become Uber drivers for the week so they could just drop all the Philadelphia fans at the wrong destinations.
Your you're going
to
need that.
Yeah. You can drop them off at the wrong destination and then realize it's your car because it's coming back at you. There's no doubt about that.
You don't want them in your car.
These are a couple of roughhouse fans, man. I'm curious to see how the crowd control is this week.
Because Boston's known around the country in sports from a sports perspective as being the most racist sports fans.
Both fan bases have a reputation for fighting themselves. They don't fight the other, they fight themselves. So if you put two of those together, does that negate it? It's going to be a peace conference? Or is it just going to be 300? Is that what's going
to... We've got a loyal Eagles fans that call the show. And one guy was calling the show. I said, look, we would all be pulling for you guys if not for your fans, but let me remind you, aside from the courtroom that used to be in the old Vet and all the other things,
and the
that
jail.
You threw full beer cans at Vikings fans just for walking in the stadium.
Yeah. Pelted Santa with snowballs.
Did that.
Cheered Irvin for an almost season-ending injury.
Like you said, fought each other when you couldn't find fans of the opposing team.
Yeah.
And oh, by the way, you punched two horses that cops were on because you were mad you got arrested.
Well, when your team wins and the police have to grease the telephone poles,
I saw that.
Maybe it's time to check our behavior. No one knows how to act. That's why.
And they still got on those poles, which is even worse.
They still tried to climb them.
Oh, yeah, they got up there.
Roll a guy in sawdust so he can get up.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Oh, that's good stuff. Now, you said, okay, so you're not doing, where are you doing the Netflix special?
Well, I'm finishing my special and I want to go to either Netflix or Showtime because I think those are the two best places for comics to do specials right now. I think they're doing the best stuff. So we'll see when I'm done and I'm ready to sell.
That's Nick's a big fan of Redbox and also Redbox. Blockbuster.
You're a Redbox guy, man?
Absolutely.
I saw you vaping at the 7-Eleven. What's happening?
Now, you're gonna film it in Chicago?
Yeah, I think Chicago is going to be where I go because I did the last one in my hometown. I did halftime in my hometown in Pittsburgh, which was awesome. And Chicago really was just incredibly supportive through Mike and Molly. So I kind of want to go back and feed off some of that kind of energy.
Now, what's it been like since Mike and Molly went off? And
really great, man. You know, that was a life turner. That changed everything, put me on the map. And, you know, 20 years to an overnight success, as they say. And and then after Mike and Molly, I went right into a miniseries for CMT. And we did a 8-part miniseries about the beginning of Sun Records in Memphis. And I got to play Colonel Parker, Elvis's manager.
Wow.
And that was a nice dramatic role. So it kind of opened some doors for me in different areas. So now pilot season's coming. And because of having done both of those, I'm getting looked at for different projects. So this is the first time I'll be a free agent in 8 years. So I'm excited to see what's out there.
And I love the fact that you're not limiting yourself just comedy. You're going to get into some dramatic acting and otherwise.
Yeah, my hero was Jackie Gleason, and I certainly like what a big man John Goodman has done. So if I can take a chance and do some of those character parts, that's kind of what I'm shooting for.
That's fantastic. You can stick with us for another segment.
Yeah, man, absolutely.
Outstanding. Thanks. Billy Gardell's Hill. We're going to continue with a whole lot more of The Usual Suspects on an FEF Friday. Don't go anywhere. It is ESPN 97.5.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
Montag, lieben, glauben, glauben.
New York has a great roadmap. There's a bar every 4 feet.
with a church in between them. That's the system up here. I'm fucked up. I'm sorry. I'm fucked up. I'm sorry. I'm fucked up. I'm sorry. Let's get a slice.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, it's The Usual Suspects on an FBI Friday. It is the usual guys that are always here in studio. It's Nick, Barry, and Joel, and we have the great distinct pleasure and honor of having Billy Gardell in our studios as he will be performing at the Joke Joint, one show tonight, two on Saturday. You know him from Mike and Molly, Bad Santa. Mm-hmm. You were talking about the fact you're working on a little Netflix, and you're doing a little bit, getting branching out into some dramatic acting as
well. Yeah, and also my old boss, Chuck Lorre, there's my name drop for this. Segment, but he called me a couple months ago and he said, hey, you want to play a creepy redneck? And I was like, yeah. So he put me on Young Sheldon for a guest appearance, and they've invited me back to come back in February and do it again. So I'm excited about
that. Nice.
Yeah, that's a show that's blowing up too.
Yeah, it's a fun show, man. That kid's super talented.
Yeah.
Yeah, like ridiculously talented.
And that's a spinoff of the Big Bang Theory. That,
yeah, yeah, it's Young Sheldon. It's Jim Parsons' character.
I was going to say, the original Jim Parsons is from here.
And he does the narration of the show too, so it's very cool.
Awesome.
Yeah, Jim's from here. He's a big Rockets fan.
Yeah, and if you guys are interested, you can go to jokejointcomedyshowcase.com. 8 o'clock tonight is the show, and then tomorrow, 7 p.m. and 9:30 p.m. Correct. And at the end of this segment, we will give away three pairs of tickets to the show, to the 9:30 show.
Cool.
So hang in tight there. Yeah, we'll do that.
To the 9:30 show tonight, Barry, or which?
No, there's only one show tonight, 8 p.m. Don't confuse everybody.
9:30 is tomorrow.
9:30 tomorrow. That's correct.
Look, man, 8 tonight, 7 and 9:30 tomorrow, all right? Just focus on the red box.
We told him there's a reason why he's in there, yeah, and we're in fish, here. In and if we need him, there's a window.
That's the producer aquarium.
That's right.
You knock on the glass. You drop a hot dog over the side and feed him.
Nick's like, I get picked on enough. Now I'm just getting gained.
Now I got three people picking on me.
Yeah, bro. It's all love.
Yeah. Now, what you've been in comedy for a while now. How much has it changed since you got started? And because I don't know, for me, I'm only 5 years in, and I don't really see much difference for me from when I started. But I mean, you and Don,
I was
been
very
around.
Lucky, man. I came in the late 80s, in 87 is when I started, so it was still kind of like jazz back then. It was still, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome. And it was more of a I think it was, to not sound too artsy, but it was more soulful. I thought it was more soulful. I thought it was more honest. And it was about getting a laugh. It was about healing people with laughter. That was it. And then we had some guys that were really edgy, that were great, that made great points. And what happened is it got oversaturated and it took a hit. And then it morphed into this thing where it seems to me like the comics are just mad at each other. And I don't quite understand why or what they're upset about. But it seemed like there was a little more camaraderie when I started, and it was nicer to be a part of that because it kind of helped you spar and become a better comic without, you know, trying to make someone feel like they should kill themselves.
Yeah, somebody
it's
asked me.
It's a little angry these days.
Somebody asked me about it. It's like It's a solo sport.
It is
now.
A solo
it
sport. Is. But we had a great group of guys that didn't really care what your act was about as long as you were a good guy. And we would actually, you know, we'd write tags and help each other. Like my open mic night was me and Daryl Hammond and Tom Rhodes was the feature act then, and we were all just starting, and he would blow into town, and we had Carrot Top and Wayne Brady, and Larry the Cable Guy was Dan Whitney back then, but nobody hated each other. We would do open mic night, and then we'd go to Denny's and try to figure out how the hell we were going to make a buck doing this. You know, it wasn't so, and it kind of morphed into, I think there's just a meanness in it now that there doesn't need to be. Maybe I'm wrong.
No, but it doesn't seem like
I'm sure there's
across
four comics listening going, he doesn't know, shut up, whatever.
No.
Doesn't it seem like it's across society these days? And maybe social media has a little bit to do with that, too?
I think it has a lot to do with it. I think having the veil of being able to say something electronically as versus looking someone in the eye and telling them that, I think we've taken away a class. We've taken away a sensitivity. We've taken away a discretion. You know what I mean? It's people can just say whatever they want without any consequence. And I think it's dangerous. Everybody needs a voice.
No, we call them cowardly keyboard confidants. Because if they can text, they can duck and run.
Yeah.
And as Charles Barkley has said, you know, everybody is with a keyboard thinks that they can save the world, and they're a bunch of idiots.
Exactly. I think we are. You know, compassion is always the answer. I don't know how we get back to the middle. That's my thing.
We got a listener, Harrison Lee, huge fan of yours.
Okay.
And he, first of all, he said halftime was his favorite special of all time.
Kind. Thank you, Harrison.
But he said, Billy, please tell the story about your grandma drinking highball glasses of bourbon with the one cherry to break it up.
I was saying, you could always know it was getting close to Christmas when my grandmother would start drinking. My Irish grandmother would start drinking 2 weeks before Christmas. To celebrate the birth of Jesus. I guess that's, you equate that with Jameson, but that was her thing. And she would always drink highballs. And I would say to the audience, if you're too young to know what a highball is, it's straight bourbon. And they drop a cherry in there like, that's going to break it up. You know, and back in those days, there was no rules for parenting. She would just give us the cherries. So you'd be eight, just messed up on highball cherries, trying to build a bar out of Legos, just going, that is cool, man. She's just a righteous broad, man. And that was how it was in my house, you know?
That's awesome. That is awesome.
We were
talking
about it yesterday because I grew up in the Midwest, and old-fashioned.
Was what my parents said.
You mentioned that down here. People don't know what it is.
No, you can drink it or you can take a layer of paint off.
Yeah, and exactly right. And we were the same way. We were like, and we got the cherries too. It was
then the reward was always if you got your parents a drink, you got a sip.
Yep.
And you're coming back. I'm pretty sure that's not in Parent Magazine.
No. There's pictures of me with a cigarette in my hand and a beer from my sitting on my dad's lap. Yeah, that was the good old days.
Well, how about sitting on the middle seat in the car, no seat belt? My old man just smoking Winston's, just one bump, you're going through the windshield.
Reach in the back and grab me another beer. Exactly. I remember these road trips.
I remember my dad actually saying, tuck that seatbelt down into the seat. That's getting
get
in
it
the
out of the way.
Jam it down in there. Actually, push that down there. That's going to hurt your side.
Exactly right. And you know what? And you think about it, and again, with the way society is today, and obviously in a lot of ways, good for safe too. But I can remember coming home going, Mommy, why did Mrs. Tracy not stay in between the lines? She was making sure she covered all of them.
Here was the answer my parents would give. She was tired, honey. She had a long day at work. She's very tired. Sometimes she likes to park on the curb. Are you hungry? You want a snack?
Exactly. And that's what they'd go next. Hungry? Can I get you something? We'll get you something to eat.
Now, do you do a lot of your style?
Yeah.
Do you do a lot of family? I know you talk about your son.
Mostly, almost 90% of my act is about being a father and trying not to be a hypocrite. And then right now I'm on this new run, which I'm really enjoying, being a veteran couple. My wife and I have been together 18 years, and now my son is starting to disappear on the weekends to sleep over at his buddy's. So now which is great. He's gaining his independence, but now he's left me and her at home alone. And that, you know, we circle each other like two gunfighters in Westworld in the morning. I mean, we've had every discussion and every argument, so we're trying to feel each other out again. So, and I guess it's the precursor to empty nesting. So I've been talking about that.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
Does your wife mind? Because I know mine gets mortified when I bring her up on stage.
How long have you been married?
Well, we've been together. Well, it'll be our 20 years that we've been together. We've been married for 14.
Okay. So she should know by now.
Well, yeah, but I didn't get into comedy till way after we were married.
You've only been 5 years. About 10 years in, she'll look at you and go, have you written anything new? No, then I'm not going to the show. Right.
Yeah, I don't expect her to be there next weekend. I'll be honest with you.
They get tired pretty quick. But my wife's got a great sense of humor about it, too. And she understands it's what pays our bills, you know. And I don't do anything that's going to make anybody scared or uncomfortable, you know.
Yeah.
But I think the admission of what it is we do to struggle to stay together so long, I think that's actually really funny. And everybody can identify with that who's trying to keep it together. I always tell single people, you don't know. You have no. Just shut up.
That guy right there.
Yeah.
The red boxer has no clue.
All Red Box has to think about is, what am I going to eat? And what am I going to eat? And can I take a picture of it and put it on Facebook? That's it. That's the end of your responsibility list. You don't know terror yet.
You're leaving an element out that we give him a hard time about, which is when you're all by yourself and no one's policing you. It's not always TV you're watching, and it's always,
yeah.
You know.
No, without a doubt, man. I'm no good unsupervised. You know, I need my wife telling me what to do and giving me a list every day.
Yeah,
that's my deal.
Live by the list.
I'm fine being married. I like it.
Well, before we get out of here, I gotta get your thoughts on the Super Bowl. I mean, you're obviously a big football fan. Is football your sport?
Football's my favorite. I go football, baseball, hockey.
I was gonna say, where does hockey fit in?
Penguins, Pirates, Steelers, all the way around the horn. Although nutting in Pittsburgh should be run out of town on a rail. And give. I mean, we lost that Jacksonville game, and then he traded McCutcheon right 2 days later.
Yeah. I was going to say, the Astros are thanking you for Garrett Cole.
Cole's phenomenal this year, yeah. right? And I tell you, man, they do. He sings the same song every small market team tries to sell, which is, if you come to the stadium, then I'll be able to keep players. And then we show up, and then he lets them go. He's a dirtball, and I hope he's gone soon.
Wow.
How's that for a celebrity opinion?
There you go.
Yes. I hate when you get guys that are on TV, and they're like, I just enjoy being at the game. I'm like, no. The problem is, we got no right fielder, no closer, and we need safety help with the Steelers.
You're just gunning them all down.
But Lemieux in the game.
You're never
going
to get invited to an owner's
box. I like the way Lemieux runs the Penguins. Yep. I really do. Yeah, I do. I really like the way that organization is run, and they are my they've just started pulling it together the last 15 games. I think they should end up in the playoffs again, and they're super fun to watch, man.
Sid the kid, and yeah. the track
the
record
gang,
is there.
The whole
yeah.
gang. And I think, I really think Sullivan is what changed that. I thought the pieces were there for about 4 years, and Sullivan was the coach that came in and made that work. I think he gets a lot of credit.
All right, so who do you have in the Super Bowl? How do you see it going?
I like the over, for those of you wagering just for fun.
Oh, yeah,
like
a lot of people just do it for more than that here.
That's what I meant. I caught it at, 47.5. It's up at 48. I wouldn't go past 49. I like the Eagles to actually score first if you're looking at prop bets. I like there to be a total of under 4 field goals, and I'm going to call the upset. I'm going to say Philadelphia 28-24.
Look at that.
Good thing you didn't do there any research.
There you go. No, I wasn't reading.
Yeah, you weren't ready at all.
I wish you would have came ready, Billy. I mean, come on, next time. Be a
right
professional.
From the seat of your pants. yeah, I'm throwing it out there.
All right, but we're going to take callers number 8, 9, and 10 right now. 713.
Get them on the line, Redbox. That should be his whole. That's his nickname. That's please his tell nickname. Me that is. Right?
Change your Twitter handle.
Yeah.
Yes.
Redbox.
Yeah, the producer, Redbox.
At Redbox.
Look at his regular handle, which we've already changed for him several times, is at the producer Nick.
Yeah.
At poor Redbox guy. Has got to be better than that.
713-780-3776. Be callers 8, 9, and 10. You'll get a pair of tickets to see Billy tomorrow night at 9:30 at the Joke Joint Comedy Showcase.
Right on.
Billy, thank you for being here, man. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much. I'll see you next time.
All right.
Get out there and see Billy, regardless of whether you win the tickets or not. It's at the Joke Joint at 45 in Fuquay. So get out and see him. One show tonight, two on Saturday, and then I think you might pay a little attention to that game on Sunday. We'll be back with the second half of the big show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Hi, my name is Bob, and I approve this message.
I got the magic in me. Every time I touch.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back for the second half of The Usual Suspects. Doesn't get any better than that. We were talking in the break. For all of you people that think it's such a big deal to be on Radio Row, look, we'd like to be there, but whether we're there or not, this week for us has been better than Radio Row.
Yeah, Calvin Murphy, Orlando Pace, Billy Gardell.
Billy Gardell is fantastic.
That was fun.
If you don't believe us, go see the guy. I mean, he's hilarious, but he's a good dude, and that's the main thing. When they're good people off the air, he was talking about Rich Eisen off the air being as nice as he is on the air. Billy Gardell's the same way.
Yeah, and a lot of people enjoyed it. I mean, we're getting texts. Never watched Mike and Molly, but definitely check this guy out. Honestly, didn't know he did stand-up. That was really good. Matt said, y'all need to get Billy on a weekly segment. That dude is hilarious and knows his stuff. That's what I was impressed about, his sports knowledge. A lot of times, like when we had Pauly Shore on, that was fine, and Pauly was cool and all
throwing
that.
Prop bets and everything.
But
you
and R.J. Bell, we're going to Billy the Hatchet, and he's going to break it down for us. Billy the Hatchet on a weekly basis next year football season. We got to make that happen.
I mean, Harrison Lee enjoyed it. SG said, I'm really digging the interview. Good job. So, yeah, I'm glad. You know, and I got to say this. I didn't know how to react because the first thing he did when he walked in was like, hey, I'm really sorry that you got bumped from your weekend because of me. And that's just how this business works. I'm a nobody. And that's this dude is, you know, he's got specials. He's shooting specials for Netflix. He's Mike and Molly. He's national headliner. People know who this guy is. I'm a nobody. And for him to come in and immediately apologize to me, I didn't know how to react. I really didn't. That's not something.
That's how you define that we're not BS, and he is a good dude.
Class. He's,
yeah. I actually thought that he would like kind of pile on because this is the stand-up comedian industry, and that he would just pick on you more.
And it would have been fine, and I would have enjoyed it, and that would have been great.
Right.
That's what I mean. You guys have no idea. In this business, that's how, like, I should be getting bumped by any headliner, much less a national guy like Billy Gardell. For him to come in and first words out of his mouth is, hey, man, I'm really sorry. Thank you for letting me have this weekend. That's all class. And I didn't know how to react because I wasn't expecting that at all. So
yeah, I heard Trey's bumping you in a couple of weeks. So
well, now I have issues.
Now, if you use, by the way, that picture that you got, Nick, with Billy, if you use that anywhere on your Twitter account, then you have to change your, you are Redbox.
Redbox. I can't take Redbox's Twitter handle. That's I wouldn't awesome. Change it anymore.
Yeah, the producer
but
Redbox.
I thought that was hilarious.
Just double exit.
I like how he piled on. He's just like, screw it.
Yeah, I loved it. Yeah. I thought it was great.
Speaking of Trey, we had to get Billy in because he's got other stuff to do. So we moved it up a little bit. But we're going to do this stale pretzel bun eating contest at 2:45. So that'll be next segment. We'll
Who's
get
doing it?
Andrew and Trey.
Okay.
Yeah. So we'll get the pretty boy and the beast.
Yeah.
Is how that's going. Yeah. Trey's, I don't know if you can guess which one Trey is.
It's equal opportunity interns, He's too, because beast. We try and spread the wealth and get everybody in here to do their thing.
And I said that the winner, the first person to be able to eat their stale pretzel bun will be able to join us for a segment to talk or finish the segment.
I had a hoagie, you wrecked me. I got to go.
Poop. I have a feeling Trey can still eat the hoagie or eat the pretzel bun. I'm sure there's room.
Barry, I can't. I got to go poop.
That's weird.
Well, guess who we're talking about?
Yeah, well, that's true. That's definitely true.
I don't think Trey's going to do anything fast. I don't think he can eat. He can eat, but I don't think he's going to eat fast.
My concern is he's not going to take this challenge serious, and it's going to piss me off. If he doesn't take this serious.
You know what? I can tell you right now, the one way he will take this serious.
Okay.
It is the red box. If the red box even drops his eyebrows towards Trey.
Nick, you got to shake a fist at him like you're angry.
Terrified of Nick's angry side.
You think he's scared of Nick, really?
Oh, I've seen it, and I know it. I've talked to him about it.
I don't think he's like that.
I don't think he is.
Oh, yeah.
I think Joel convinced me before, but I don't think he's scared of me now. Oh, I don't think he's intimidated anymore.
No, I've had this conversation with him in the past. Unless things have really changed, he's like, yeah, I don't like to see Nick's mean side. But when he gets upset.
Yeah, but I mean, I've been mean to him, no question, but not to the extent
I guarantee you, look him in the eye on the way in here and go, Trey, if you screw this up, don't let me down. I'm betting on you. I guarantee you he will bring it as opposed to going, oh, if I lose,
I've
kind of
done that. It
bad.
Makes him perform worse.
Yeah,
if you scare him, if you scare him like that.
Like what was it that
if
we
put
had,
pressure on him?
Was it the rap battle where he just folded like a tent?
I wasn't here for that.
The one he crushed
it was
Drayon
the rap battle.
Or,
no, oh, the that, rap yeah. battle between when we had him
Jacob.
Freestyling.
Jacob was one of the participants.
Yeah,
right?
but Trey folded during the rap battle.
Jake Spear,
I thought he
John,
would.
Yeah.
Yeah. He just did horribly. So that's what he better take this serious.
John can't do anything now. He's got a nasal congestion problem. I look in there and he's got two fingers in his nostrils when he's back behind you, Nick. It's just like, come on. I mean, the mustache can't hide that stuff.
He can't hear you.
That's good.
You can just talk mess about it.
Just talk more.
Stupid face. Yeah. Dumb idiot.
Yeah.
Don't turn the speaker. Nick's just laughing.
He's got two fingers in his nostrils behind Nick every time I look in there, and he's like, I'll do a challenge. No, you won't.
Oh, my goodness. Man, this has been crazy. We've had Charlie Polillo on the show, which is amazing.
There's a star crusher.
And Billy Gardell. Just one extreme to the other.
Charlie's learning the ropes, by the way. He's like, and if you're thinking your best opinion, should I go into the all staff meeting or should I do it from the car at home? I go, where would you be more comfortable? Well, I haven't eaten yet. You're right. Good point. I'll get in the car.
Yeah, they're having a 2:30 gal company meeting, right?
Always when
I think
we're
this
on
is
air.
The third one that we've missed. I believe.
Yeah,
they've only had three, so they do it while we're on air, which I think they're trying to hide things from us. So do we know what they're talking about? Are we going to get meeting minutes? Are we going to find out if we're... Because they could fire us and we wouldn't know.
Until 4 o'clock? At some point, somebody normally does a drive-by and tells us little tidbits.
Like, not now? That was the big thing with the sign, not now.
How'd that work out?
That lasted a day.
Including the nose picker. Did anybody see a sign ever since the last meeting that said not now?
I saw one that day and that was it.
I think Tyler was making fun of everybody with one.
Yeah. He was teasing.
That's the only one I saw.
Right. But I don't think that lasted very long. But I'll be curious to see. I think this is just a normal meeting, Nick, or is this something that we should be aware of? Is it important?
I would imagine it's a company meeting where everybody's supposed to
You need to find out for
it. Probably just a State of the Union.
I'm sure we'll get a recap.
Oh.
Well, I mean, but our state.
Right.
Yeah, our state. Not
you think they're going to send out meeting minutes? They haven't before.
No, I think they'll give us like a rundown or a recap, I'm sure.
Trey had a not now sign, and he gave it to Nick, but it said, but if you really have to, then I'll be okay with it at the bottom. terrified of Nick. I'm telling you.
I think you're blowing that out of proportion.
We'll get to the bottom of that when he gets in studio.
Right. We're going to ask him if he's scared of Nick or not. I don't believe he is.
I believe he is.
So we've got prop bets. Do you want to save these for whoever wins the challenge? Because I looked on Sports Map and they actually.
I just think Billy could go one by one.
Boy, he really could have. But Jerry Bowe on Sports Map wrote a pretty decent article about the different prop bets, including stuff like Dilly Dilly.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So what color is Pink's hair going to be?
What's Pink doing? The anthem?
Yeah, she is doing the national anthem. And
okay,
so
I didn't know that.
Yeah, what color will her hair be? So we could save those if you want for the intern that wins the challenge and get their opinion along with ours on that. What I liked about Billy that he talked about was he knew his over unders and he knew the spreads, and I was curious, would you take the points?
Here's my thing. We're saving our picks, and
but
we
do
don't
you think
bet.
That,
we're not
is that
AJ.
Enough to get you to do it?
It isn't.
Okay.
Because I think, unlike a lot of people that are calling this as from the final score perspective being that close, I think that unfortunately one of those turnovers is probably or one of those meaningless at the end of the game, but it puts the game away kind of touchdown
right.
is going to happen, and I think that's where the spread's going to get blown out of proportion.
So it's at four. So essentially, you don't think that's enough.
I don't.
Okay.
I don't.
And I'm kind of that's what always scares me about betting is. It's the same thing in MMA, which I definitely don't bet MMA because everybody has a puncher's chance. Everybody, I always say everybody has a button.
I feel like the good
if you have a
gone.
Jawline, you can be knocked out. And so you never know in MMA. But even in sports, this is why, one, I have bad luck. But two, I feel like if I bet and were to say, you know what, I'll take Eagles and the 4 points, all right? And then I feel like there would just be some fluke interception for a touchdown at the end of the game that was meaningless with 1 second left, like you were just saying. And that's what scares me to death about these guys that can actually put money on a game. And dudes that bet a lot. It's different when I'm going to drop $50 or $20, but guys put $1,000, thousands of dollars.
Well, they said someone came in and completely changed the spread in Vegas right after the Super Bowl was
announced. But I'm not talking about those guys.
Dropping like $7 million.
Here's the thing.
I could never do that with a
but if you
conscience.
If you could bet $7 million, you have $7 million to lose. You're not worried about it. But I'm talking about guys that'll be like, all right,
but I get
I got $10,000 in savings. I got rent due. I'm going to take my $10,000. I'm going to take the 4 points, and I'm going to let it all ride, and here we go. And then you lose it on some fluke play at the end. That's insane to me that people can do that. I just don't understand it. Scares me to death. Do we want to do this call now?
You want to read it?
I don't. Yeah, we can.
10-gauge. Oh, then we did that perfectly in stereo.
There you go. Jinx.
It's our new group. We're doing. Is 10-gauge on the line? 10-gauge, what's up?
Yeah, boy, this 10-gauge just want to say that F also stands for furniture at the Red House.
And then he hangs up.
Was 10-gauge OU Mike's?
No, that wasn't OU
that
Mike.
That wasn't OU Mike, no.
That definitely wasn't OU Mike.
No,
you
no,
could
no,
understand
Mike,
him.
I was going to say, is OU Mike's like brother or illegitimate brother? Or...
I love that the Red House is still
picking up some more momentum again.
I love it. Although, here's the thing, though. It said 10-gauge, and then the subject of the call was comedy. I don't know about that. I mean, it was funny. I don't know if I would call it comedy, but it was funny. In case you're wondering, the line now, the over-under is at 48.5. I know Billy said he would take the over at 47.
Mm-hmm. Which he locked in at.
Yeah, but 48.5, I don't know what I would. I had it at 24-21, New England, when I did my post on Sports Map. So that, to me, I'm taking the under because I would have it at 45.
Yep.
And I would have even been under on the 47 when it was there as well. Do you have a inkling of what you think it'll be?
I'll have to think about it. I haven't really thought about the score because I was
You've
going
had
back
two
forth,
weeks.
But I was thinking more along the lines of who was going to take in the actual game. I want Philadelphia to win.
Okay,
I want them to win.
So
I am rooting for the Eagles.
See, that's the other thing. Like, Nick, will you root for a team?
I will
team?
Not root. I will not in this game. I don't hate
now,
the Patriots.
And I was going to say, Joel, are you rooting for Philly or against New England?
Against New England.
Okay.
Yep.
I can respect that because there's teams that I don't like or individual people that are on a team that I may not like. And really, this isn't one of them.
I'm going to get all this BS now.
I want to hate
people.
New
you
England.
You just want to hate them because they're good and they won champion. No, I got my reasons. You got yours. You know, if you love them, then go to town.
Yeah, I want to hate New England. I just really don't. I mean, there's other teams in the NFL that I hate, and that's just not one of them. And
but
I don't
should
know
Houston
why.
Fans really hate the Patriots?
You can't beat them, hate them.
How about be envious? Maybe not hate, but jealous?
Yeah, I mean,
that's different.
I mean, there's a few Patriots haters in every city. I get it, but I'm just saying, like, what's the... Why would there be, like, an influx or an amazing number of haters, Tom Brady haters in the city? I don't see why.
Yeah,
I don't,
I'm not sure. It's just a thing. I think people like to hate champions.
No.
No?
Well, that's why everybody hates you, but, I mean, no, not even that. The thing is that people hate the fact that Boston as a city gloats a ton when they win. And then I would say that a lot of teams don't like the fact that they've won multiples and they don't like the thought of...
Yeah, I do hate the Celtics. And if this was the Sixers and the Celtics, which I know, but I would totally be rooting against the Celtics. I don't know why. It goes back to the days in you know, 79, 80, 86, Rockets, Celtics.
Yeah, but see, there's... That's,
I hate the Celtics.
There's reasons.
Yeah.
So, I mean, Nick...
And the Jazz.
I mean, I used to hate the... I still hate the Jazz. But I used to hate the Spurs. That used to be my number one. But I don't hate them anymore. I just don't...
I'm with you. I think the Spurs are too classy to hate now.
Yeah, and I know it gets kind of annoying with coaches like Greg Popovich and Bill Belichick and the way they talk, but I think it's funny sometimes. As long as you know, watch
it
closest.
Did you see last night?
No, what did he do?
He was awesome last night. David Aldridge is interviewing him. He says, well, you're down by 12, and Pop goes, what? Thanks for the reminder.
Yeah, no, he was great last night, and that's the thing.
It was awesome.
I can't even compare those two guys. I think Pop has personality, and if he trusts you and knows you doing the interview, he's fine. Whereas Belichick is so guarded all the time. That's why when we're talking about these specials, it's the only thing that humanizes Belichick, because that's his persona out there all the time. Pop, if you get the right guy, like Craig Sager used to loosen him up too, where he would just show you a different side, and you're like, he's a good dude.
Yeah, you see, and the ones that ask him the questions the most usually are the ones that can, like the beat guys that are always covering San Antonio, that he'll pick on them, and he's pretty cool about it. Yeah. Sometimes he'll give them short answers too, intentionally, but he'll mess with them as well.
Jim Foley's the greatest guy in the world. Jim Foley, he sends cards and reminders, and he clips newspaper clippings still for people. And he would do it to Greg Popovich. And I was, you know, right off the top, I thought, well, Pop's too busy. Pop has responded to every one of Foley's letters with
classy.
A thank you note. And they're both wine drinkers. And Pop will send him bottles of wine.
That's classy.
Yeah.
Steelers fan Juan said the meetings about all the other shows need to catch up to our ratings. I like the way you think.
Yeah, buddy.
I like the way you think. And then we got this text. I know we got to go. I hear the music. I promise. But Benny said, hey, I was 10 gauge just now. The reason I chose that is in the Red House commercial, the guy says his name is 10 gauge. See, I didn't even know
there
that.
You go.
Good job, Benny.
Wow.
Good Benny. Job, brother.
Tip of the cap to Benny.
Yeah.
As we'll continue to roll on. The Barry experiment. The Barry experiment is next.
See how this goes.
Let's see how it goes and who can hammer a pretzel bun that is only one day expired. Is that correct?
Couple days. It's kind of hard, though. Pretzel bun.
We're going to reuse the remaining buns as pitching and batting practice later on when we take infield. But until then, we'll take a break. Come back with more. It's the Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
This is DeAndre Hopkins, wide receiver for the Houston Texans, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, back on The Usual Suspects. Need even hour number two of the three-hour extravaganza we like to call The Usual Suspects. And because it's an F Yeah Friday and anything goes...
Food.
We've already gotten the F for funny out of the way with Billy Gardell. If you missed it, go back, catch the podcast of that, because that dude is one good, funny individual. He's at the Joke Joint, 45 and Fuquay, both tonight for one show, two shows Saturday night. Barry, no, you're going to be there. Everybody can see Barry along the way because
I'm going to go hang out. Yeah, okay. I'm just going to be there. I doubt very seriously I'm getting on stage, but
hugs
I will be
outside
there.
Outside and jokes abound inside.
Somebody asked me that, by the way. Barry, are you still giving out hugs to your show next weekend? And I said, if that Friday early show sells out, yes, if you come up to me, I'll hug you. But it's got to sell out. So if there's any empty seats, nobody's getting a hug. I'm not changing my mind, no matter how much Trey asks for a hug. You're a big hugger, aren't you, Trey?
No.
You like the hug? No?
No.
You're not a big hugger? You got to get up to the microphone.
You're an equal opportunity hugger, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you just lied again. You just said you're not a hugger, and then I said you're an equal.
If the moment arises, like if it's a good, if,
wait,
like,
what
if
did you say?
Do you hug your dad?
Every now and again, but not usually.
Do y'all kiss?
No.
You don't kiss your dad?
Oh, my God.
You know, like Tom Brady style. Like we're
talking. Did you see that, by the way?
Yeah, like Tom Brady kisses his son on the lips. There's nothing wrong with that. You don't kiss your dad on the lips?
I guess people raise their kids differently, but I'm not kissing my dad on the lips.
Not even when you were a kid? Not now.
No.
You're too old.
No.
Like when you were 10?
No.
What about your mom? Do you kiss your mom on the lips?
No. Maybe when I was a kid, but not now.
All right. Do you kiss his mom on the lips, Andrew?
Absolutely.
Oh,
not.
Now that was inappropriate. That was not right. Do you kiss your dad, Andrew?
Absolutely not.
Never?
When did you
got to get
stop?
Up to the microphone there?
Oh, right.
When did I stop? Probably about 3 years old.
Yeah, 3 years old. Okay.
I love that Trey threw in a wreck.
he's my wingman. He's just throwing in the backdrop for me.
All right. Now we have you guys here to do this expired pretzel bun challenge. You already have a pretzel bun in your hands. Trey put his on the table, which is pretty gross.
These look like potatoes.
They do. It's a little bit.
Do you fondle your potatoes at home?
No.
Because it seems like you're doing a lot of touching of it now. Now, you guys do realize we put some inanimate object in the center of each one of these. So when you do try to speed eat, you might catch a surprise you weren't aware of.
There's like a razor blade.
There's a battery in one. There's a razor blade. Yeah, we just treated it like Halloween candy. So it's all laced. One's just laced with poison.
Trey, by the way, the other day asked me what inanimate object I would eat if I ever wanted to eat one. And I'm like, what?
What a weird ass question. Yeah. Why, was this something you were doing, like going around asking people, or just Joel?
Just Joel.
Okay.
And
well,
then
that's
you know
fine.
What he answered?
What?
A table.
I'd eat a table, yeah.
I was like, good thing you picked something digestible and small. You picked the damn table.
Like, it looks delicious.
So,
a table.
Like after I followed up with the fact that I said a sponge because it would probably digest easily and it's small, he goes, I'd do a Cascade pod.
Yeah, the dishwasher.
A dishwasher pod.
That, you know what? It wouldn't surprise me if Trey did try the Tide Pod Challenge. Trey is the kind of guy that would have fell for that back in junior high.
He's about to.
He
it's
totally would have
that
fell for that. Okay, so here's the deal. You guys have a stale, expired pretzel bun in your hand. And we're going to do next segment at 3 o'clock. We're gonna do some Super Bowl breakdown. So one of you guys will get to join us for that segment. Give your opinions. Give your picks. It'll be your chance to kind of shine and make it. So this, I want you to take this serious. Not like you did in the rap battle where you just mailed it in.
You crapped the bed. Let's be honest.
You were horrible in the rap
battle. That's on me. I got to coach better.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill O'Brien.
Andrew, are you ready for this? Now you ate earlier as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I had a few kolaches earlier, but I'm fine.
Let's stop. He passed on the free lunch we had in the office today because he said about the points. He was worried about counting his points for Weight Watchers.
Are you doing Weight Watchers?
No.
Well, what are you talking about points?
So the food is still cold on his desk because he knew he was going to eat a roll.
No.
Do you work out?
A little bit.
I mean, you're kind of swole. I know.
Trey's in awe of him every day.
Trey, is he handsome?
Yes.
Yeah.
Not that I'm that way or anything.
What?
What way are you? We've had this conversation.
I'm asexual.
No, you're not.
You're not.
Okay, let's do this. Now, here's what I'm going to time you guys, but the winner will get to join us on the next segment. So I need you guys to take this seriously. This could be a big break for you in radio. You could save this segment.
Are you motivated by this?
Yes.
All right. It's also on Facebook Live, by the way. Facebook, ESPN 975. So here you go. You've got first one, and I need to see, like, you have to open your mouth and show that there's no bread in there. You ready? 3, 2, 1, go! Trey, you're eating it like you're taking your time.
Don't talk to him. You're distracting him.
Oh,
he can't multitask.
Andrew, you're never going to win this. You should have that whole thing in your mouth already.
Has either one of these people seen Joey Chestnut?
Yeah.
Water it down.
Oh, yeah. By the way, neither one of them get water. How dry is it? Is
it
pretty dry? It's really bad, Andrew?
Joey's wife dry.
Did you just say my wife?
Oh, Nick, shots fired.
Did you just talk about my wife?
No.
Oh my goodness.
Trey, there's one thing in this world you should never do, and that's talk about my wife.
That's my bad.
Yeah, it is your bad. Now,
and
I didn't even call you retarded earlier today because of that. And now,
you talked
about my wife, and so now I have to just like, it's all, the gloves are off now.
Trey, keep eating.
All the fat jokes are on the table.
Do you want to be in radio? Keep eating.
I can't believe. It doesn't even matter if he wins now, Andrew. You're going to get to do it.
That a boy.
Good Lord, Trey. You have a very large mouth. You have a lot of food. tray. I didn't think you could fit the whole thing in there. I'm sure that's not the first time you've heard that. That's a lot of...
Trey, you're going balls out, aren't you?
Andrew, you've got a long ways to go. You're over there. You're eating it like a bird.
Bring water? I mean, this
no!
is...
No, there's no water allowed. How dry is it on a scale of 1 to the Sahara?
Trey, Andrew can't talk.
I know. That's why I'm trying to get him to talk, just to see what happens.
You can't.
your diet is just messed up. Trey, did you just spit it out?
You got a snowblower going over
shove
here.
Shove it back
Trey's
in your mouth?
Snowblower. He's like... all over the place.
Good Lord. It fell out of his mouth. He caught it. And then shoved it back in his mouth like a homeless man. Why?
He's about to barf. He's about to barf.
Oh, if you throw up, you're definitely out.
You better get it, John. Enter John. Make sure you get it.
Trey, if you throw up, you are out. I can't believe you guys aren't done yet. I feel like
First
you should
all,
be done by now.
What are you doing? What are you, in a feeder?
I'm
bird feeder? What is this?
Andrew, you're eating it with your pinky up. That is like not even class. No one cares that you are doing this classy. He's beating you, Andrew. You better hurry. You better hurry. Trey's used to having this
nibble.
Much
It'll
in his
make
mouth.
A difference.
Trey, you just spit it at me. Now I'm fighting you. You just spit food at me? We're fighting. That's the most disgusting. Did you gag?
He just took a handful out of his mouth.
He's just got, did you hear it, Nick? He goes. Oh my God! How good is it, Trey? Is it delicious?
Not good.
You know, you look like OU Mike might have looked in his younger days.
These things are not that big. You guys should be done. You're 3 minutes in. Look, we've ran out of a song.
You want to do the segment?
No, we got to keep going.
You want to do the Super Bowl segment?
Did you just drink water? Mm-mm. Oh, you cheater! Mm-mm. Did you? No. You were moving
it. You gotta get that crumb that you took. Okay. There's a crumb on the desk. You left.
I was
jamming
say,
in there right now.
Look, okay. They both are out. They still have it in their mouths.
Trey, go. Stop looking at people getting distracted. Finish.
It's going to be close. It's going to be close. I hear a lot of...
You seen the Rocky movies, Trey? Finish him!
Andrew does kind of look like Ivan Drago, too. He's got that Drago look to him. If he dies, he dies.
Trey, it's a pretzel.
You guys are close. Look, I didn't know you had that on the table still, Andrew. You're way behind. There's no way you're finishing.
Are you done?
No, he's still chewing. They're both still chewing. Trey, why are you cleaning up?
Trey, give it the big gulp. Swallow it now. Hurry up. Go ahead, Barry. Go tell him.
Uh-oh. Andrew might win this.
Stuck on the teeth.
Oh.
Does that count?
Yeah, no.
Are you done?
Are you done?
Swallow it all right now.
Andrew takes it barely. Oh, no. Trey, you were in the lead for so long. Oh.
Can I have some water now?
Yes, you can have some water now. Trey, you can't. You can never have water again.
What is wrong with you, man?
Sorry, Barry. I didn't mean to make that comment.
No, it's all right.
I feel really horrible.
It's already been done and it's been recorded. You can't
live that. So you can't take it back.
The moment just arrives.
There was one thing that's off limits. It's like, you know, his kids, my wife. But you know
my
what?
My wife, too, but...
You crossed that line, so it's all right. You'll never do this show again, but you know. By the way, Andrew, 4:13, that was not bad.
I think that's respectable.
I'm pretty impressed. It was obviously harder than it looked.
Like a freaking ostrich.
What the hell? AD, did you see that?
What is now what's going on?
The mic broke, and AD's like, what the hell did you just do to the microphone? AD, this place is falling apart, and I blame you. I don't know. Look at this. Look at this.
He always does, AD. I'll verify that.
Do you think this is not okay? This is the worst segment ever. I got my wife talked about. My microphone broke. We got to go to break.
Whose idea was this anyway? that's right. Never mind. It was all yours.
Oh, God.
Hey, we got two in the books. One to go. 1 hour left of the big show. Stay tuned. Andrew next with Super Bowl prop bets. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.